Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I've been known to send sexts that just say, thinking about your dick. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I really like rereading sexts that I've gotten from people in the past. Mm-hmm. It's just really roll. I probably do that more often than I like look at porn to jerk off.
I don't know if I do it more often than porn, but like I definitely do have a folder on my phone that has a lot of screenshots going back years. I'm very glad to have them because, yeah, not only for like sexy horny reasons, but also because it's nice to be like, oh yeah, people have liked me and have liked me enough to write really nice hot things to me, so that's great.
Yeah, that is also true. I also watch shockingly little porn because at this point it's not jerking off, it's market research, which is just a different headspace.
Are you going to write off porn on your taxes this year?
Oh my God, I should.
Yeah, I've started writing off books that really are for research, but that I never felt comfortable writing off before because my tax expert is cool and has been encouraging me
to do
that.
That is smart.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not looking forward to this year of freelance taxes.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, no. Never am. Ugh. We're not talking about taxes. We're talking about sexting.
Which I am looking forward to.
Yes, me too. So this is part two of our sexting episode. And one of the questions that you had on your list last week that I think that we should actually revisit and chat about is about sexting etiquette.
Yes.
I think that because sexting is something that can like arise naturally, like you don't really have to like, you know, read about it or do research on it in order to do it, much like sex. Although it does help if you do research. I think a lot of people don't know kind of like basic etiquette, which is not to say that it's the same for everybody, but I do think that there are some kind of like baseline things that are important. What comes to mind for you for this?
Yeah, well, there are two kind of categories, I guess, of etiquette that come to mind for me. The first of which is really just a digitized version of basic sexual etiquette, right? In most instances, it makes sense to warm someone up and tiptoe into sexting via flirting and feel out the waters and see if that's a thing they're down for in this moment versus opening with a dick pic. Like, there are select people in select circumstances who can do that, and it's really hot, and I would super enjoy it, but it has a much higher risk of also going wrong, right? So that, for me, comes to mind when I think about sexting etiquette, because it is the kind of thing that we do learn in in-person sex pretty early on, what that, like, should look like. And somehow, in my experience, humans fail to translate that to the digital realm. So I think it's important to, approach with the same kind of sexual etiquette that you typically would. And then there are also things that are unique to sexting that I particularly enjoy, which is, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think about the ability to use parentheticals for like check-ins or to have a discussion within a discussion or a discussion alongside another discussion. That can be really fun and hot. And that also feels to me like a sexting specific skill, as well as... Last thing I'm going to add, I have many opinions about how people should sext. But the last thing I definitely want to touch on is the fact that it is an asynchronous communication method. And I feel that if you are doing something other than just sitting and staring at your phone and texting someone and sexting them and like maybe jerking off, which is entirely reasonable. The thing I love about sexting is that I can do it while I'm on the subway, while I'm running errands, while I'm at work hiding my phone under the desk, right? You know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
sexting can make mundane things a little bit more interesting. And when I'm doing that, I like to give a little bit of context of, like, just so you know, this is where I am. So if I vanish, this is why I vanish. Or I haven't just, like, seen your nude and fucked off into the sun, right? I'm here to, like, I may get distracted by the reality around me right now, but I am also engaged and excited about the things that we are doing, which is not usually something you have to say about in-person sex.
Yeah.
If I just suddenly stop responding, I'm still engaged. That's rarely so much the case.
Yeah, it is tricky. I've liked in the past where, like, if I was sexting with someone and they were on their way somewhere or something came up and they had to step away from that conversation, I like when they let me know that, but then, you know, make an extra comment that's, like, validating and affirming and gives me something to do or something to think about. So it could be like, I have to step into a work meeting right now, but I'm going to be thinking about you, and you're allowed to get off, you know, with whatever toys you want, and, like, tell me later what it was like. Something like that. I wanted to give maybe kind of an example of the usage of parentheticals that you were talking about, just because I feel like if you haven't actually done this or seen this done, it can be a little bit hard to understand what that means. So, like, you know, if me and Matt were having a sexy convo and it was like, I'm going to put my cock in your holes and, like, I'm going to whatever, like, you know, getting really explicit. If we went into, like, a territory that was a bit psychologically dangerous, like, for example, maybe some fear play or some consensual non-consent type stuff, they might put in brackets in a separate text from their most recent sexy text, like, hey, just checking, this is okay, right? Or, like, what color are you right now? If you have, like, a red, yellow, green safe word setup. Or you don't even have to use safe words. You can actually just use plain language. That's one of the great things about these parentheticals is that, like, it's – I think it's pretty clear, even to people who have never seen these used before, like, what's going on there, that it is sort of, like, stepping out of the moment for a sec. And then, you know, I might send back my, like, I'm going to be such a good girl for you, daddy. And then, like, in brackets be like, yes, this is totally fine. Thank you for checking in. And I love that. I think that's one of the great things about sexting that you can't really do as easily in-person sex.
I've also used parentheticals for, like, in the moment, negotiation. So something I have, on occasion done in conversations that are getting, like, kind of sexy or kind of flirty, where, you know, someone might tell me to do something or whatever. And before I reply, I will say in parentheticals, like, I'm feeling inclined to call you an honorific right now. Do you have one that you prefer? Right?
Really
so,
good.
Like, I need a little bit of information before I formulate my reply. And, like, because sexting is a little out of the moment, we're already doing other things. Like, I can step out of the moment to be like, hey, can you give me a hint for the next one? I want it to be, it's going to be really hot, but I need a little bit extra information first. Thanks. Great.
Yeah.
So I find them really helpful for that as well.
Yeah, I love that. When me and Matt were talking the other day about the fact that we were going to record a sexting episode here, we started talking about how, like, my approach to sexting traditionally has not involved, like, actually jerking off while it's going on. Like, I've definitely done that at times, but, like, it's not really my preference and it's not really what feels the most natural to me. Like, I tend to be really absorbed in the conversation while it's happening. And I don't really want to start touching myself typically because, like, then I have to deal with, like, lubey fingers on the screen and, like, the phone is locking and I'm using toys and I have to unlock the phone again with lubey fingers. And it's just like, I don't know. For me, that gets a little bit unfocused and, like, not really what I hope to get out of that situation. So usually I'll, like, have a sexy conversation with someone and then maybe jerk off to it afterward or, like, later that day. But I was talking with Matt about how, like, there can be this kind of disconnect or this mismatch if, like, the person you're sexting with thinks that it is one of those, like, we're both jerking off types of conversations and it actually isn't. Like, I've had times when people were sexting with me and then they would start to be like, did you come or, like, have you gotten off yet? And I'd be like, oh no, like, that's not what I'm doing at all. Like, I didn't know how to, like,
ice cream. What are you talking about?
Right. I didn't know how to communicate about that without it sounding like the equivalent of if you were having sex with someone and then you looked up and suddenly they had all their clothes on and were standing across the room. Like, it's a bit weird, but I think you can establish it a little bit earlier on. Like, you know, I can say that, like, I'm working or, like, I'm at a mm-hmm. coffee shop or whatever the case may be, the reason why I'm not, you know, willing or able to jerk off at that time. And we can still have that flirty banter. But I do think that's something that I prefer to sort of establish early so that we don't run into those mm-hmm. issues later on.
Yeah, those kind of conversations where, like, you're actively jerking off definitely have a different energy than ones where, like, people are kind of bouncing about, in my experience. Mm-hmm. And it can feel a little weird when it starts, or, like, I don't know, I often feel a little stressed out when I'm like, oh, this is tipping into, oh, your pants aren't on anymore, huh? And I'm like, I'm on the subway. I'm going to lose service in between here. I'm not going to mm-hmm. – because the thing with when someone's actively getting off to them, I think there is almost an implied promptness with response, and like that you are both actively almost entirely focused on this conversation. Mm-hmm. Like when I am – sexting someone as a service, I'm like, no, this is my main responsibility because someone somewhere is jerking off right. and is waiting on these replies, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a very dedicated kind of focused kind of sexting. And that is not so much the case if I am doing something that is like tipping in and out of flirting and back into like something a little more explicit and back, where I've like kind of accepted that we're both out and about and using this to make our day a little bit more interesting, mm-hmm. which really is my preferred kind of sexting anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on my mood, but in general, I don't know. I have a weird thing about like compartmentalizing like masturbation versus partnered sex. And for me, sexting feels too much in the middle space, I think, a lot of times. Mm. And like, you know, something like phone sex, even though physically I am masturbating, it feels more like partnered sex to me. It feels more like, you know, we're very in sync. We're both very focused on the same thing. And sexting is like kind of not quite there for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's something very internal about the process of like writing up the stuff that you're into. It's very different from dirty talk. Mm-hmm. Like my dirty talk, I get to watch myself dirty talk on camera all the time. Those are not real sentences. They don't make sense. They would not look good on a page, right? Someone give mid-orgasm me a thesaurus, for the love of God. He needs one. Like, they're, you know, I would not sext people the things I say while fucking, because that's so much more stream of consciousness. But the process of sexting, it does feel a little bit of like, I don't know, Ash looked at me the other day and they were like, you're making your sexting face. Who are you talking to? What are you? And I was like, oh, I don't what? And they're like, well, it's your I'm being clever and flirty face. So you're like, you're I've saying seen that things. Face, yeah. Like, what are you? And it is that like you get the like, I don't know, that process does feel a little internal, a little bit like, oh, I'm sitting with myself and being clever and flirty, and then I will get a reply soon. Mm-hmm. Feels different from in-person sex and communicating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. One more thing about sexting etiquette. When it comes to photos, I think good practice is to ask for a photo if you want one, but in a way that's non-pressury, and ask before sending a photo. Mm-hmm. And for me, the easiest way to do this is if you want to send a photo, you could be like, I'm so hard for you, or I'm so wet for you, or like, I look really good right now, or I just got out of the shower, whatever. And then you just go, want to see? That's mm-hmm. so easy. It's great. And then if you want to see a photo of someone, I think a great way to do that is to be like, I wish I was there right now and could see what you look like, you know, all wet or like using your toy or whatever the fuck. Because that's very easy for them to be like, oh yeah, I wish that too. Or to send a photo if they want to. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think especially given that a lot of people maybe sexting while they're out and about or, you know, around other people because it can be done surreptitiously. It's a good idea to check in on that because, like, if they're on the subway, maybe they don't want a giant picture of a dick to show up on their screen. So, mm-hmm. you know.
No, absolutely. In the category of asking for nudes, something someone used recently that I thought was a good idea was they asked for a picture of me, like, blushing and, like, being all, like, cute and nervous or whatever, because I had been playing up that I was feeling that way. And they were like, oh, well, you could, like, send me a selfie of that or whatever. And, like, bonus points for good boys who send pictures of their holes and et cetera yeah. as well. And I was like, ah, cute. It was, like, a little extra credit thing. Like, you're like, I would love to see your face and, like, also your junk if that mm-hmm. was a thing that you wanted to share, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it gave me an opportunity to still comply, to not be like, no, you can't have the thing that you're asking for. I could be like, yeah, here's a picture of my face. And like, maybe if you're real good one day, I'll give you one of those other pictures, right? I can give a little flirty sidestep it if I wanted to, mm-hmm. While still having a chance to be cute.
Yep. We got a question about the best kinks for doing remotely over text. And the example that this person gave was hypnosis. And I did want to touch on that for a second, because mm-hmm. A lot of the hypnosis I've done has been over the phone, like with voices, but you can actually do it via text or via like online chat or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that this probably tends to work best if you are already, you know, have some level of hypnosis experience, either as a top or as a bottom. Because it is kind of challenging, and also, like, I think it's much easier to go into trance for the first time if you can actually hear someone's voice and see them and stuff. But, you know, my partner's done things like trancing me via emojis before, like just sending a bunch of emojis in a row, and I'm just, like, staying very focused on the phone, and kind of my eyes are, like, going fuzzy. And there's definitely ways that you can do it. People do, like, countdowns via text to kind of do an induction or whatever. But yeah, other than that, I think that most kinks that work well via text are ones that are very much focused on emotions, psychology, words, rather than mm-hmm. physical touch. Do you have any faves for this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, probably my go-to is any sort of power exchange or things around protocol, things around service, control, any sort of DS style stuff. Text is really great for that. It's a really easy way to kind of infuse that power exchange into the rest of your day, mm-hmm. because you can easily articulate via, you know, you can give someone a command via text. You can ask them an invasive question and have them feeling vulnerable and make them like type something filthy out in their phone while they're at a public place, right? Mm-hmm. You can ask for pictures, you know, have someone execute a task and tell you in detail what it feels like to do that thing while they're doing that thing for you. Mm-hmm. That's definitely, I think, probably the thing I play with most via sexting.
Yeah, me too. Any kind of DS. And then also I think things like praise kink or humiliation kink, both mm-hmm. very verbal types of kinks that work really well via text. I was thinking
and of course role play.
Oh yeah, definitely role play. I don't know that I've I've definitely done role plays via text. It's just sort of it tends to be a little more fluid for me, I think, than I would do for an in-person role play where it's like, okay, we're gonna do this and here's who we're gonna be. I think I tend to sort of like slip into it more via text, because you don't have to worry about like costuming or do you look the part, or, you know, does your voice sound right for the part or whatever? You can just use your words to play that character.
Yeah, I have definitely done more like isolated specific role plays, like ready, set, go. We're going to do the thing. Mm-hmm. And like you be this and I be that. A way that is kind of easier to help that feel separate from the rest of your conversations, especially like with my partner who, like, if I scroll up a little bit, I'm also going to hit the grocery list, you know? I have taken these role plays and had them in other apps, right? Like, you know, in Textra, I'm asking you how your day is going, but in WhatsApp, daddy is telling his filthy little slut what he needs to do, right? And then you can kind of associate a particular headspace with what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering about the potential for some kind of conditioning play via text tone. Because I've definitely had relationships where I set a particular text tone for that person and I started having like a dopamine or arousal response just from hearing it because of how that was linked over time. And I think you could definitely play with that in a more deliberate way if you're into that as a kink.
Absolutely. Even if like that text tone is linked to a specific app or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that like those notifications always mean a specific thing.
Yeah. With the visual aspect of sexting, like with potential, you know, sending photos or videos, I think that that's a good opportunity to play with exhibitionism or voyeurism because you can make specific requests of somebody. I want to see you do this. I want to see you use this toy. I want to see you wearing an outfit that evokes this. And that can be really fun. And I also think that that's a good opportunity for people who like haven't done a lot of exhibitionism and voyeurism to kind of sneak into it, because you're probably doing it like in your own home, or maybe you're doing it in like a public bathroom, and you have the opportunity to like set up the shot the way you want it and maybe do a few takes and like really get it right and make sure that you feel good about it, as opposed to in person when, you know, you don't really get that chance. So I think it could be nice if you're like kind of nervous about trying that stuff.
Yeah, something we've also, like, implicitly mentioned but not really addressed on its own is playing in public, which sexting is perfect for. Yeah. Because we've talked a lot about how it can be complicated to enjoy playing in public, which is certainly a thing that I think we both do, while also not engaging other people in our play. And sexting can be a great way to have a private narrative with someone who is far away or someone who is on the other side of the room without looping everyone else in the room into what is happening. So if you, we talked about, you know, power dynamics and things, I may be sexting commands to someone across the room. I may also, or, you know, across the country or whatever, I may also be sexting commands to someone on the other side of the room, but just we're in public and they, you know, get the order and then eventually go take care of a thing. And we're able to have this kind of personal little secret between the two of us in this wider event.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite sexts that I've received, which I'm pretty sure I've mentioned on this show at some point before, but I walked into the Playground Conference, which is this sex conference in Toronto, and I was a little bit late, and I showed up, and everybody else was already there, and the session had started, and my friend with benefits was across the room. Like, I would have gone and sat with him, but I was late, and so I just, like, grabbed a seat, and he saw me from across the room, and he sent me a text. I was wearing thigh-high socks, and he sent me a text and he was like, oh my god, you're wearing thigh high socks, like I have to go down on you later, I can't stop thinking about going down on you, something like that. And I was just like sitting there blushing and giggling and like trying not to be visibly flustered with all these people around me who I didn't know. That's good stuff. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, there's something incredibly vulnerable about feeling like seen like that across a room by someone, and then like, because you know they're looking at you for your reaction, and you know they can tell what, that you're reacting to the thing that you're looking at. So it feels like everyone else can tell that you're reacting to thing that, the thing that you're looking at. But like they almost certainly can't. Right. And at most, what they can tell is that someone cute texted you. Oh, no. Like, at most, they're like, oh, they have a crush. And you're like, this is filthy. This is, have you, this is filthy anyway.
Do you remember, like, several years ago when I got a text from someone who I had a crush on at the time? And there were, like, a few crushes in my life at the time. But I, like, made some sound when this text came in. And you were in another room and you knew who had texted me by the sound. That was, like, whoa. Best friend level. Very high.
Yep. Yep. That sounds right. That sounds right. No, I was quite proud of that. I was...
Yeah. That is a uniquely you skill set. Okay, I like this question. What can you do about the awkwardness that can sometimes happen when you meet someone IRL who you've mostly or only sexted with before? And the reason I like this question, I guess, is like I have a policy, a loose personal policy, of not sexting with people before I've met them in person. I have made exceptions, and I probably will make exceptions again, but like I don't know. I feel like there's a tendency to like jump the gun or like assume that because you've sexted with someone that sex in person is definitely going to happen. Or like sometimes it's just so different in person and you're like, oh my God, this is not the chemistry I was expecting. And it's just super weird. So I kind of prefer to have like an in-person sexual encounter first so that when we're sexting, it's like based on something that we've experienced together. But of course, you know, as I said, there are exceptions. What do you think can be done about this? Like this awkwardness, you're seeing this person face to face for the first time. You've bared your filthy souls to each other, but it's just like kind of feeling weird.
Yeah, well, so I try to address this before I see them in person by kind of setting expectations via text, right? And I usually do that by saying something around about feeling kind of nervous or whatever. And I usually also try and talk a little bit about what our first hangout is going to look like, right? Whether that is a matter of like planning for us to go somewhere and do a thing. So like, oh, we're going to an arcade. Okay, so we're going to play video games for a little while. And then like maybe go back to your house and fuck. Maybe not. We'll figure out what that looks like. But like we have a plan. Or you're going to come over and watch a movie for a while. And like, I really want to show you this movie or something. Like whatever that looks like. I have talked about what our plan for the hangout is, so that we can both kind of picture what it looks like. And going into the situation, yeah, I don't like to rush into like, we're going to fuck as soon as you show up, unless that's the thing that you've planned. Right. I more go into it with the confidence of not the confidence of I've fucked this person before, because sexting isn't that. It's more the confidence of, this person has told me they like me, right? Like, I know this person is attracted to me.
Yeah.
And so that brings a certain level of intimacy to an interaction, right? I may be more willing to, like, touch their arm or lean on them when we're on the couch and, like, be a little cuddly or something. But I'm not gonna, like, walk in and go for their junk, right? We ain't been like that in person. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
And then another thing I like to do in person, if I'm able to, when I'm flirting with them, is call back or reference or make a mention of something that happened when we were sexting.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, my brain, it helps my brain connect those two realities and be like, right, this is the same person. I know that thing because we've talked about this because you are the same person that lives in my phone and said those hot things.
Yeah.
And I think doing that for myself probably helps them as well and can also kind of give them that jolt of confidence of like, oh, right, I spoke to this person. Oh, right, you're that person who lives in my phone. Oh, right, we've kind of established you're attracted to me already. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that point about making the connection between the two sort of selves is so crucial. And like, this used to happen to me a lot in the early days of my relationship with Matt, but honestly, it still happens. Like, if we're apart for a few months and then we get together in person, I still am like, whoa, this person is so handsome. How is this the person that I'm dating? Like, it doesn't make sense, like, because the way that their face makes me feel is the way I feel when you're at a party and you see a hot person across the room and you're like, oh my god, I could never talk to that person, I'm so freaked out by how hot they are. So yeah, it definitely helps when
now you're married to them, which makes not talking to them awkward.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird. But I do still feel that sense of like slight like inhibition and shyness initially that is just sort of like, oh, I don't know, like, if you're quite the same person that I've been talking to on the phone. So it does help to make that link. I'll also say, if I'm meeting up with someone who I haven't done stuff with in person before, I like to put it on the table very early and very clearly that sex may or may not happen. Because obviously we hope that the people who we're going to be hooking up with would be very consent conscious. But like, there are definitely people who, for reasons both good and less good, might assume that, you know, sex is definitely going to happen if you've sexted. And I just like to float the idea just so that they can emotionally prepare for that. Because I know that rejection in that type of situation can be really emotionally difficult, especially if you're caught off guard. So I like to say something like, you know, we'll hang out and then if the vibes are right, maybe we'll do some sexy stuff. Or maybe we'll just hang out and drink some beers and watch a movie or whatever. Which is as much for my own peace of mind as it is for theirs also, because it's quite possible that they're feeling the same way and that they also would like to have an out in that sense. And the other thing is just like sort of basic, like breaking the touch barrier. This is sort of reminding me of a conversation I had with a friend of ours who is in the porn scene in Toronto, who I was going to be shooting blowjob porn with. And we had never done anything sexy together. We'd only like you know, talked occasionally at parties and stuff. So they were like, what do you want to do, you know, when you get to my apartment that would make you feel comfier? And I was like, well, it would be great if we could like talk and like cuddle a little bit, just break the touch barrier, like just feel a little more comfy touching each other before you put your dick in my mouth. And we did that, and that was really nice. I think that there's just something about like physically touching someone in like a not explicitly sexual way that feels really important to me to do before we get into the sexy touch. It's also just like you can smell them and you can feel their energy, just, and
that's what I was thinking. There's just something about, I'd never really know if I'm into someone until I feel their body next to mine.
Yeah.
Like, it's just got to be a hug or, like, a cuddle or, like, leaning on me for a second or whatever. But just, like, feeling what it feels like to be touched by someone is generally the moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe. Okay. All right. And I like what you were saying about setting up in advance. Like, if all we've done is sex, I haven't had that moment. I don't actually know for sure if we're going to have, like, if we're going to fuck when I get there.
Yeah.
And I like the example you gave, because it doesn't have to be, like, if you want to, it can be, like, just so you know, we may or may not have sex this evening. Like, you can do that. But it can also be as simple as, like, if we decide we're down, we might, you know, and we can maybe get up to something more exciting in the evening, whatever. But just that if in there does a lot of work.
Yep.
And I also like the way you talked about, like, if the vibes are right, or you can say, like, if we're into it. Because you also don't have to take full ownership for being the only person who could shut down a thing if you're not into it. Like, you can raise the possibility that, like, you may not want to fuck me. And, like, that's also fine. Like, if collectively we do not want to fuck each other in any combination, that's cool. And that's helpful to say explicitly. I agree.
Yeah. I also find I like to take things very slowly, one step at a time, when escalating sexually in this kind of situation. Like, I wouldn't immediately jump to the type of making out where you're, like, groping each other and, like, clearly moving towards sex. Unless, again, like you said, that's the thing you're doing and that's what you both want to do. But for me in general, I'm going to want to start with, like, maybe we're cuddling and then maybe we're, like, kissing a little bit in a way that's, like, not super sexual. And then maybe, like, step back, pause, check in about that, check in with yourself, see how you feel about that. Because, like, I've been in the situation too many times where, like, I jump into the sex and then I realize once the sex has already started that, like, oh, I don't know if I'm that into this. Not to the point that it was ever, like, non-consensual, really, but, like, just where I was like, oh, I wish I'd given myself a bit more of an opportunity to, like, build attraction and, like, build a sense of comfort with this person. Because I just started to, I don't know, I get kind of dissociate-y if I feel like we're jumping into sex and I haven't had enough of an opportunity to, like, calm down and check in with them and with myself and, like, you know, make sure that I'm okay with everything.
Yeah, no, I've absolutely had that experience. And I think that's definitely why I come to this approach of, like, I don't know, I don't touch them like I've fucked them before.
Yeah.
And I understand where people can get that, like, the impulse to do that, because sexting can feel like sharing that kind of intimacy. But I don't know, for me it is enough to be like, ah, they like me. This is a person who is attracted to me. I can treat them like someone who has told me they are attracted to me, which is certainly, like, a bucket in my brain. I am more intimate with those people than I am with, like, I don't know, the guy bagging my groceries, right? But I don't touch them the way I touch my partner who I've been fucking for 2 years and know whose body I know really, really well. And I think recognizing where they sit on that spectrum is helpful.
Yeah, it can also be cute to let them know when and if you start to feel that IRL attraction while you're hanging out together. Like, you know, you're cuddling and you're just like, hey, like, I'm feeling attracted to you. Like, I don't know, if I've already laid the groundwork that, like, that was an uncertain thing, I think it's nice to just mention that, because, like, they're probably worrying, as I am worrying, like, oh my god, are they as attracted to me in person as they were via text? And it's nice to just, you know, reassure somebody.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I've definitely, like, you could be, like, you know, laying on a couch watching a movie or whatever and be like, hey, so I've decided if you're into it, I'd like to fuck later. We should do that. We need to finish watching the movie. I need to see where this is going. But just so you know, if you'd like to fuck me later, you can fuck me later and go back to what you're doing, right? Like, I don't know. There are a lot of – that would leave me both delighted and flustered in probably an endearing way midway through a date.
Yeah.
So I agree. It can be fun to take the stress and the anxiety of is it gonna happen off the table before you even get around to like actually making the thing happen, right? If you're out at dinner or whatever, like, I'd like to bring you back to my apartment later. In fact, you let me know later if we're gonna do the thing. But like, I'd like to do that, you know? It can be fun.
Yep.
And then they blush and it's so cute.
I have a question here that I think we're going to be able to answer pretty easily.
Excellent. Love those.
I think our answers will probably be the same. This person asked, do you have any tips for taking nudes for girls who aren't a size 2? And I have some perennial pieces of Dildork's advice. First of all, change up the media influences you are absorbing.
Yes.
Unfollow a bunch of size 2s on Instagram if the size 2s are making you feel bad. Make a Pinterest board of babes whose bodies look like yours. Follow more babes whose bodies look like yours. Follow porn stars whose bodies look like yours. They exist. Like, there are porn stars all over the map in terms of body size and type. And this is just a way to build the idea in your own mind that your body is sexy, and also to get ideas for how to photograph your body in a way that will make you feel sexy. And then the other thing is just to remember, like, if someone is enthusiastically sexting you, like, they're into you. Like, you don't have to, I know that there can be a tendency to look at yourself, and if you don't find yourself attractive, you're like, well, I'm not attractive. And the metaphor I use for this is, like, if someone told me their favorite ice cream flavor was pistachio, I wouldn't be like, ew, pistachio is terrible. That can't be your favorite flavor. You're lying to me. I would be like, oh, okay, I get it. You have different tastes in ice cream than I do. I respect that that's your favorite. It's not my favorite. Doesn't need to be. That's not the conversation we're having. What do you think about this?
I love that bit of advice. The only thing I'd add is a bit of advice that I give for anyone taking nudes, which is to take a lot of them. I selfishly give this advice because I want there to be more nudes in the world. And because when you are taking one nude and looking at that one nude, you are like, oh God, this is what I look like. This is what I look like 100% of the time. When you have 10 nudes, each one of them is what you look like 10% of the time. When you have 100 nudes, we're getting down to 1%, right? And you can look at it and be like, wow, sometimes I look like that. That's bonkers. And then swipe to the next one and be like, oh my God, sometimes I look like that. Holy shit, right?
Yeah, it's true.
This works doubly well if you can do it alongside someone who's attracted to you, because that's particularly fun because you swipe to one and go, oh God, I look like that. And you're halfway through like, oh God. And they're like, oh my God, you look like that. Do you see your ass in this picture? And you're like, no, I was focused on the one weird mole in the corner of my forehead. Sorry. Oh, wow, my ass, right? being able to see yourself through someone else's eyes and have someone else gush over how hot you look is going to expand your definitions of what pictures you look hot in. There are a great many faces that I post on my very professional naked on the internet places. That was a good promo right there. That was articulate. I am sticking with it. There are plenty of pictures I post there that I look at and I'm like, ugh. But I have learned from the people who are attracted to me that they are good faces because many people have complimented them. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you. But science tells me that this is one of the good faces I make, that people who are attracted to me like when I look like this. So I can do more of that, sure. So looking at pictures of yourself alongside someone who is going to gush enthusiastically about those pictures is going to help you understand why pistachio might be a good ice cream flavor, even if it's not your favorite.
Right. Yeah, and on that note, I feel like a lot of people forget this, especially maybe insecure women. You're allowed to ask for reassurance and compliments anytime you fucking want. And a good partner generally will be more than happy to provide them. I mean, of course, there are edge cases. I do think that there are people who are, like, so deeply insecure that they're asking for this all the time to the point that, like, it's draining on their partner. But, like, that's not anywhere near the vast majority of cases. And, like,
right.
I've had so many times where, especially since being in therapy, where I was just, like, noticing a desire in myself for a particular person to compliment me, and I was like feeling kind of insecure, and I'm just in a better place now where I feel more able to be like, give me compliments, tell me how hot I am.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like they do. Of course they do, because yeah. We all understand what it's like to feel insecure, and we all want to, you know, help the people we adore to not feel that way if we can. So
yeah,
it's totally valid to ask for that. The other thing I would say, get a selfie stick. These have really upped mm-hmm. my game. They have changed the way that I think about myself and my body, truly, because when all that you have is mirrors and sort of like arm's length selfies, like that's a pretty limited view of what you actually look like from all angles and, you know, everything. So you can explore all sorts of different angles and distances and poses and whatnot with a selfie stick. Even if you never show mm-hmm. them to anybody else, it's really fun. And I have gained a lot of confidence from doing this.
Yeah, a remote shutter works as well mm-hmm. if you can, like, prop your phone up somewhere and use a little Bluetooth shutter to take pictures. That's also really great. That's how I get a lot of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I love what you were saying about asking for compliments. I mean, the number of times I have been like, can I send you this thing so you can tell me how great it is? Thanks. But if that does feel hard for you, because it was also a thing that I've had difficulty being like, hi, I need you to say this is adorable. Isn't this adorable? Great, thanks. Tell me how cute I am, right? there are things that if that is difficult and if it makes them saying, wow, you are cute, feel less genuine because it's literally what you asked for. Mm-hmm. A stepping stone I've used is saying like, can you tell me, you know, I'm feeling a little insecure. Can you tell me what you find hot about me? Mm-hmm. Or can you tell me some things about that you find cute about me? Or could you tell me some things you love about fucking me, or mm-hmm. et cetera, right? So you can ask a little bit more of an open-ended question if you want, because then they're going to have to come up with some of their own answers. And that might help it land a little better or feel a little truer. Mm-hmm. At this point, I shriek, Pat, tell me I'm hot. And they're like, Daddy, you're hot. And I'm like, I know. And I get all the dopamine anyway. but sometimes it takes a little while to get to that point. Yeah. And that it can be a little stepping stone in between where you're like, wow, no, you're telling the truth. You thought about that.
Yeah. And if you feel weird about asking for specific compliments, you can always say, tell me XYZ about me, and I'll tell you the same about you. And for me, that's just a mental shift that allows me to feel more comfortable asking sometimes, because they know they're going to get something out of it, and I know they're going to get something out of it. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's good too. Mm-hmm. One listener wrote in and said, I love sexting, but my wife doesn't care for it much. Any suggestions? Oh. You reacted prematurely. Premature reactulation.
Okay. Well, so several suggestions. Sex workers, if that is something within the bounds of your relationship. I'm on Sext Panther, which I quite like, but there's also Night Flirt. And you can browse sex workers on there who would love to chat with you. And that can be a way to kind of explore that outlet in a way that, again, depending upon the bounds of your relationship. But I think even many monogamous relationships may have a little bit of wiggle room for mm-hmm. that kind of dynamic, especially if it's something you're talking about with your partner and your partner's like, yeah, I have no interest in doing that with you anyway. Go ahead. Like, go have fun. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely... That is probably my biggest recommendation for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you went to go outside of the relationship, because I was just thinking about starting.
I went to pay me.
Right. Because my thought was, I mean, I know we're obsessed on this show with why do you like the things that you like, but I do think it's worth sitting down and asking yourself, why are you into the idea of sexting? Like, you know, write yourself a little list of reasons. And then it would be good to know from her as well, why isn't she into it? What doesn't she like about it? Mm-hmm. It's really hard for us to advise on this, not knowing those details, but you will have a lot better of an idea of what to do if you have those details. Because, like, for example, mm-hmm. if the thing she doesn't like about it is that she never feels like she knows what to say or has anything to say, maybe mm-hmm. if it's hot for you too, maybe she would be more into like you just texting her filthy things to turn her on. Or like if the reason mm-hmm. she's not into it is that she feels like it's like too cold and clinical, and like because it's text-based and there's no tone, maybe you can incorporate more voice messages or phone sex or more emojis or more photos or videos. Mm-hmm. If the reason is that she, you know, needs her kinks to be brought into it, maybe that needs to happen. Like, I don't know. There's just so many reasons right. why she could not be into it. And you really are not going to know what to do about that unless you know what those reasons are.
I mean, it could be as simple as I don't like texting a bunch on my phone, and you get an app that runs on a desktop.
Right.
Right. Like, but until you have that conversation, you're not going to know what is like particularly annoying about it.
Yeah, and also, like, necessary caveat, if she's not into it, she doesn't have to be into it. And, like,
yeah,
you got to respect that. That's just kind of how it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there is often a way to find a compromise on things like this. Mm-hmm. Speaking of voice messages, we got a question about what are your thoughts on writing text and then intermittently having voice messages versus like writing only or voice messages only. I think it really depends on like what the person's into. For me, I like the voice message. I'm into voices. I find them often more compelling than written text. But that's me. What do you think?
Yeah, I, as a general rule, I mean, we've talked about this when we've talked about audio erotica. It makes me embarrassed and blushy, and usually in not a great way. So I like wouldn't be able to, and like stream of, one of the things I loved about sexting, like I talked about, is that like you have this little internal process of like formulating the ideas that you're going to get to send back to them, and getting to think in detail about the things you're saying, about the like pervy shit that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you kind of lose that if I'm trying to record a voice message, because that just requires me to talk for several minutes at a time mm-hmm. without any response. And as y'all have noticed, this show is edited. And I lose my train of thought.
Well, I've certainly noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it stresses me out to be like expected to send many voice messages. Mm-hmm. However, I like them for emphasis.
Yeah.
Right? If, like, we've been sexting for a while and I get, you know, maybe I send you a voice message when I'm telling you you're allowed to come. So you hear that in my voice, right?
Yes, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe I send, like, a little voice message of me saying something really breathy while I'm jerking off or something, mm-hmm. right? Like, little things where it is like, and the fact that it is in my voice is a added benefit.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun for me. And receiving them will turn me into, like, a blushy puddle sporadically. Mm-hmm. The thought of an entire sexting conversation with those asynchronous audio little blurb things stresses me the fuck out. I am just my shoulders are all the way up just even thinking.
Yeah,
it's fine. Leave that to the neurotypicals or different neurodivergence than me.
Right, right. I have a few moments that I particularly like to receive voice messages. One of them is, like, if I do something good, whether it be during a sexting session or just, like, during the day I cleaned my room, whatever the fuck. Sometimes Matt mm-hmm. will send me a voice memo of them saying, good girl. Or, you know.
Oh, very good.
You've been such a good little girl for me, whatever, something like that. And that's, like, that is mm-hmm. really nice for me to hear in their voice. Like, that feels more personal. It lands differently. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, if someone is jerking off thinking about me and asks if they can send a voice message of what it sounded like when they came, that's That's usually A-okay, depending on where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing is, if I send someone
I have headphones. That's always A-okay. Anyway, moving on.
Right. Yeah, it depends on the medium, I guess. The other thing that I love is if I send someone a nude and they're not able to answer immediately or we're texting in an asynchronous way, I would love a voice memo of someone just reacting to the nude. I think that that often is more fun and delightful for me than receiving a text. Once. Yeah.
It was delightful. Mm-hmm. I got like a series of all caps messages saying that they shrieked and then a voice memo of them just being like, no, I need you to understand.
Yeah.
And I definitely have like gone back and re-listened to it. It was an I like hid in a bar when I was out with friends to like hold the phone to my ear to hear what they had sent me.
Uh-huh.
And it just, I was utterly delighted. Like I was, it made me all blushy and everything. It was very nice. And it was also the first time I'd heard their voice in like years because pandemic. So right. It was like such a delight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a special treat. And I also think if you have a partner who is sort of hesitant about sending nudes due to insecurities or whatever, this is a really nice way to go above and beyond in terms of reassurance to really set that positive precedent that like you are going to react well when they send nudes. And it doesn't mean you have to record a voice memo every time. It just, you know, you're showing them that they will be positively received, which is really important. And also I just think a lot of people are not good at reacting to strong feelings via text. Like it's just very hard to do. Like even as a writer, I find it quite hard to do, to convey exactly how intensely I'm feeling sometimes. And a voice memo can do that in a way that text really can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk about enthusiastic replies to nudes for a second? This probably should have sat in etiquette. I know we're real close to the end.
Yeah, this can be the last thing we talk about. That's
cool. No, this feels important.
It does, yeah. Almost more important than anything else we're going to say in this episode, quite possibly.
Well, I mean, it is a particular skill set. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you could talk about some of the ways that, I mean, professional writer that you are, that you have found to convey that kind of enthusiasm via text when you've received a nude. Because that enthusiasm is how you get more nudes. And let's be honest, we all want more nudes.
Right. Okay, so first of all, do not reply with just an emoji. Just don't.
No.
Do not.
No.
Do not reply with a single word either. Even something like all caps, wow, with many W's, like that says more than normal capitalization, wow, but still I'm going to want a little more. Here's what I think you should do in replying to a nude. You should, first of all, convey enthusiasm, which might be the wow text or the emoji text or a photo of what your face looked like when you received it or whatever. But also, you should say what you like about it and why you like it. I think that that is like the key thing that a lot of people don't do. And like, you know, if you send a full body photo and someone says, wow, like, you don't even know what they're saying that about. So you don't know what to focus on more in future photos. Like, I want to know if they're saying that to my tits or my tattoos or my legs or my facial expression. Like, I really want to know so that I can adjust my future or whatever. And also so that I can feel good about that body part. So describe what you're seeing that you really like where your eye is drawn and why, what you like about it. And then also a nice thing to include is what reaction you're having or like what effect it's having on you. So, you know, the basics would be like, that made me hard or that's making me wet or whatever. But you can also say stuff like, I'm giggling, I'm blushing, my heart is pounding, I can't stop thinking about wanting to do XYZ to you. Or like, this reminds me of when I did XYZ to you. Or like, I have to go jerk off now. Like, I think it's really nice to know that you're actually having an effect on somebody with a nude. And that's a lot of elements that I just named. I don't think that you necessarily have to have all of those elements in every reaction. But I will say, if you want your partner to send you more nudes, it's probably good to fit as many of those as possible into as many reactions as possible. What do you think?
No, absolutely. I agree. And those are all definitely things that I like contribute that, like, those are all definitely ways that I have replied to nudes and things that I appreciate in getting replies as someone mm-hmm. who sends a great many.
Yeah.
I also like that you mentioned, like, these different elements, and I have definitely enjoyed, stylistically, right? If you're listing all of these things, don't send them all in one message, sending them across several messages, mm-hmm. because there is something particularly satisfying about sending a nude, and then your phone just explodes yeah. on the other side of the couch, and you're like, yeah, appropriate response. Yeah. I know.
It's true.
But it also, it does have the feeling of, like, phases of reacting to a thing or stream of consciousness, like, mm-hmm. oh my god, wait, no, I have to, okay, so, right, like, as you go through a series of messages, so I do find that particularly fun.
Yeah, and Matt will sometimes text me later in the day and be like, I'm still thinking about that photo you sent me. Like, that's another level, you know? I love that.
Oh, that's
shit.
So good. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that.
Yep. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Dildorks. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I've been doing my year-end blog series, 12 Days of Girly Juice, which contains a lot of stuff, including my top 12 fashion and beauty items of the year, my top 9 new sex toys of the year. Spoiler alert, the Baldo is going to be on that list. And just lots of roundups of different things that I liked all year. So you can check that out at girlyjuice.net. I also have a book out, which would make a lovely holiday gift for a kinky person in your life. You can find that at 101kinkythings.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. And I also have a weekly newsletter, which is intimate essays about my sex and dating life, etc., which you can find at katesloan.substack.com. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing and information about my workshops at bextalksex.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. I teach sex ed workshops on Zoom every Wednesday night. So when this episode comes out, if you're listening to this on day of release, tomorrow night on the 15th, I'm going to be teaching Write It Better Than You Ever Felt It, which is my new sexting workshop. I'd love to have you here for the debut of that. Then on the 22nd, I'm teaching Better Bottoming for Submissives, and on the 29th, I'm going to be teaching Beautifully Bruised Booties, and that is on Zoom at 7:30, so you can get your tickets on my website or by going to Eventbrite and searching Bex Caputo. I'm also very naked on the internet, so if you want to explore that other side of this thing that I do online, you can search at Billy Lore on Twitter. I'm real good at promoting myself. Don't you worry. You will find plenty of places to throw money at me. This week, I am releasing a really, really hot T4T4T threesome with this guy. My partner and I are friends with, and we just rewatched it this morning, like, immediately before recording this episode, and it's just, it's an hour long and it's so good. Anyway, so that's going to be coming out later this month. You definitely want to go over there to check that out. Together, we are the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can toss a couple of bucks our way by going to patreon.com/thedildorks to help us keep doing this sexy, dorky thing that we do. If you support us at the $6 level, that gets you access to our exclusive Discord where we discuss the episodes while we're working on them and once they're released, as well as all kinds of other sexy, dorky things. So have a lot of fun over there. And then at the $12 level, you can subscribe to get access to our Patreon-only bonus episodes, which is where we get a little more vulnerable and share some of the more personal stuff going on in our lives right now. This month, I talked about some of the shoots you could find if you check out Billy Lore. Anyway, it all wraps back around.
Yeah, if you like the parts of this show where we just randomly tell stories from our lives and laugh about them, you would love the bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. I want to also shout out our top tier supporters on Patreon who we mention every week on this show. Thank you so much, as ever, to Gwen, Nat, Amelia, Matthew, Stabitha Christie, and Designer Bait. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Let's make a cup of tea. I want you in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I find, really thought I was going to figure out where that sentence was going by the time I got to this point. Really, truly was confident. And it was there with the first word, and then it disappeared.
Yep.
I'm Bexy. Hang on. I was going to try and do it without that cough, with that just sitting in my throat. That was a dumb decision. I say so much. Anyway, all right.